Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday morning, October 22nd, 2025, 11 and a half minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Certainly the talk is Candidates Night last night, which was heard on this station, and we certainly appreciate anybody who listened to that broadcast. I do want to remind everybody, Kroger Route 95, Kids Night Out, October 27th, right around the corner, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for some fun games and spooky prizes. They'll also be collecting new and gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. Kids Night Out, Kroger Route 95, 5 to 7 p.m., October 27th, Ghost and Goblins Galore. All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey,
Scott. Hey, Chet, how you doing?
Good.
It's been a while since we talked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's new in your world?
Good.
You know, Chip, have you had any birthdays recently?
No.
No? When is your birthday?
June.
Oh, June. Well, I think since we've talked last, you've had a birthday. Well, how old are you now?
44 now.
So what are you doing with your life, Chip, at 44? I know you're retired. Not doing much, huh?
No.
Well, do you go anywhere, Chip?
Yeah. Go Kenny House next month.
Oh, good. Is everything good with your health?
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're still out there listening, Chip. Well, you know, I saw Terry last night, and as soon as I know, you'll be the first to know.
Yeah.
So hopefully, sometime in the future.
You play Christmas music, too?
You know, probably will coming up in the Christmas season, yeah, sometime after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So what do you want for Christmas this year, Chip?
No road yet.
Don't know yet? Got to think on it a little more?
Yeah.
You doing anything for Halloween?
We'll pass some candy out.
Oh, going to pass some candy out? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, keep listening to the station. We might be having something going on Halloween, so maybe you could come down.
Oh, fruitcake toss.
Oh, the fruitcake toss. Yes, that'll be at Christmas time.
Get me in it.
Oh, you want to be in the fruitcake toss?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? We might start taking entries soon. So, Chip, you want to be in the fruitcake toss?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will...
You do football game all night? Do football game Friday night?
No, we're not doing a football game, but we'll be in the studio tomorrow night, so if you want to listen to the show, you can listen to that.
Okay.
Well, Chip, I'm so glad to hear your voice, and you call in anytime.
There's Santa call-in show.
You know, there might be the Santa call-in show again. We've done that before, and I'm pretty sure we're going to do it again. It'll probably start right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Chip. So good to hear from you. And, hey, keep practicing so you can throw that fruitcake.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Chip. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our good friend Chip, a very good guy. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You know, the dog at the Marion Police Department was named for Chip for his great work, and he spent many years at Kroger on Delaware Avenue doing a fine job. So, I thank Chip for calling in. It's always good to hear him. And he's getting ready for the fruitcake toss. I hadn't even thought about that. We still we don't have much time, I guess. About a month before we start signing people up for that. But Chip will be the first on the list, to, to be a part of the fruitcake toss. All right, phone lines are open here this morning, 16 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz if there's anything on your mind, talking about Candidates Night last night, the event that it was, and hopefully it was informative to a lot of people who were in attendance, and also people who listened and watched. And there'll be replays of this, so if you didn't get to hear it last night, we'll make sure you get in at some point during the whole rigmarole. Go ahead, caller.
Is this the complaint department?
I think some days.
I'd like to complain about the jackass that moderated that whatever it was last night.
Oh,
and
man.
It was totally unfair with those unfair questions and biased and yeah, I think he should be tarred and feathered and ran out of town.
You know, it seemed to be a lot of criticism coming my way as of late.
I thought it went as well as it could for the format. I didn't see any issues with it.
No. As I said, I mean...
And you didn't write the questions.
No, I mean, like I said, it wasn't my first time doing that. It was about fifth or sixth, something like that. I mean, you never write the questions. I just go through the questions that we have time to get in, and I try to get rid of the duplicate questions.
Yeah, I didn't. I think it was a little challenging. I heard, to Terry's point, you know, people being able to make their position known, but it was a little challenging when you have 1 minute to do that. You have to think about the question, and then you have 1 minute to answer it at the same time. But there was a lot of people, and we had to keep it moving.
Well, you know what? I did not suspect that would make the moderator's job harder. It did, which is fine. I mean, it's okay. But normally, because they're giving you questions the entire time, and I don't know if people see that on camera or what's going on.
Oh, well.
Yeah, they're giving you questions the entire time, and of course you've got to read them. First of all, make sure you can read them because they are handwritten. And number two, is this one that needs to get in, or have we already done this one? And when you only have a minute in between announcing each person and keeping time, it's kind of hard to do that. You used to have more time. It used to be 2, 1, and 30 seconds. And also, what I had not anticipated was that every question but two in 2 hours was asked of every candidate. And, you know, it's easy to keep track of two or three candidates in one race, but to keep track of six or seven and where you started the last time, that's a little complicated.
Six or seven, we had a dozen, didn't we?
Oh, in the charter, yeah. But I think city council was six or seven.
Yes.
So it was a thing.
And I don't think I was the only one. I might have been the only one. By the time, I was towards the end of the table, and let's say you started in the middle of the table, or you started two people away from me. By the time it made it all the way back around me, I mean, people had said different things. I forgot what the question was.
Oh, yeah, and I think that was an issue.
There's been 10 minutes of talking since the question was asked.
Yeah, and I think that also became a problem last night, was when it used to be two people, and it was you get the question, then there's a rebuttal, and then there's a 30-second retort, you knew pretty well what you were talking about. But, yeah, right. When it had to go through 16 people and back to you, well, a lot of people have said a lot, and the question hasn't been asked now in about 15 minutes, and it was a little difficult. I think it had to be done that way because of all the people.
Oh yeah, I'm not complaining about the format. That was just one of my challenges, and I guess that was my fault for being ill-prepared. I mean, I had a pen and paper. I just wasn't assuming that I would need it.
Well, you know what I was surprised about?
In a minute, I mean, how many thoughts can you jot down for 1 minute? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I was surprised about was that more questions were not directed at people. Because normally, that's what happens. You know, it's like last night, the final question went to Jay McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
And that's normally how it is. And I don't think people understood the rebuttal process, and I don't think, obviously a lot of the questions...
We were all just tired at that point, too.
Yeah, and it was the best we could do with what we had. I think everybody did well. I don't think anybody hurt themselves.
No, I don't think so either.
And it was not contentious.
No one said thought.
No, and it was not contentious.
But, no, and but you know, I don't. I honestly believe that Collins didn't show up because he was going to be sandwiched between Terry Klein and I.
Well, as I said, I do have to say that when I came in,
Naomi to the left of me and Terry to the right. Here I am. Oh, in the middle with them.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I do have to say that when I came in for the audio check yesterday afternoon, and they were doing the seating arrangements, I said, wow, you know, that's, I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's irony or what that is, but that's where he would have been seated.
Donald was directly behind me, and he was leaning over reading a newspaper. He was so close to me at one point, he probably could have seen the pores in my skin. And he actually got up and stood in the back of the room until it was time to go sit in our seats. So,
you know, I
got along just fine with everyone else, though.
Well, and I thought the police chief handled himself well last night. He did have a question asked directly of him. I think he was the only one in the Charter Commission portion that did. And I thought he handled that fine.
Did you notice how he said that he kind of claimed leadership of the group before it ever even had been designated to him? He said something, he said more than once, the leader of the group, the leader as the leader. And my husband even picked up on it. He's like, well, he's already got himself nominated as the chief of Charter Commission, doesn't he?
Well,
if that does happen, it'll be interesting to see how he and Collins butt heads, or who asserts their authority in that situation.
Well, I was shocked that the mayor didn't show for whatever reason, because
I'm telling you, he had to sit between Perry and I.
Well, it's interesting because he did not let them know that he wasn't coming, which a lot of people did, and he was seated. And so that is kind of odd.
Well, they asked us if we were coming. So we had to RSVP to even
So he
get a little printed piece of paper with our name on it.
Right. So that's you know, interesting to me that clearly he did not say he wasn't coming. And he did not send a statement, which a lot of people did, of why they were not going to be there.
It is what it is. I still think it was the Terry Naomi sandwich that had him concerned.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm starting to believe that the mayor maybe just
doesn't want to do any type of media.
Well, something where he likes to do the men's breakfast, and he likes to do the, you know,
that's not media. That's giving a speech. That's prepared comments.
Right, but I think he would do a show if he felt it was going to be friendly. You know, completely friendly, that it was going to be...
Well, he has with Luke Henry, the podcast thing.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he did a show where he believed that the questions were going to be completely, you know, just tell us what your greatest accomplishments are, and as long as it had nothing to do with anything newsy.
Boy, everybody was just all in on the at-large people were just all in on the love your city and spending money. I couldn't believe, I was honestly surprised at how many people just admitted to, let's just spend the $80,000 on a charter, and because more money is what's going to fix our problem. Like, none of them even offered another solution other than spending more money to do this charter.
Well, you know what was interesting of the Charter Commission folks is that even people up there who are not part of the, let's say, city payroll or that, they don't really seem to be against it. I mean, more...
Well, you have to think, though, who up there wasn't somehow associated with the city? Okay, there was Terry and myself.
Kara. Kara's not.
Kara Stevens is not. Who else?
I guess, Emily.
Okay, right.
Emily. Those would probably be the ones.
Okay, so there were four people out of how many last night that aren't somehow associated with the city?
Yeah, whatever the group was. But I did not get the impression that Kara, now maybe I got the wrong impression, but I did not get the impression that she was totally against this.
She and I have spoken, and I don't believe that she is totally against this. I don't believe that she's totally for it, and I believe, I mean, everyone knows, obviously, I'm voting no based on the fact that I don't believe we will get a fair commission. Now, Kara and I both agree that if this should happen, we need a good representation of the entire city of Marion up there to write this this charter. Now, if you also looked at that group last night, how many women were up there? Two? And Kara?
No. Emily.
Okay.
That might have been it.
That's it. So, you know, again, out of the how many ever people were up there, and there were no minorities. So we had mostly white men, a few women, and no minorities, because we had 2 weeks to gather candidates. That's my take. Now, Kara and I have discussed that we want, you know, to be able to have a seat at the table so we can represent women and minorities and things like that when writing a new government.
Well, I'll tell you something I got the impression of last night is even those people up there, wherever they're from, they do not agree on a lot of things. So I thought the question of how you're going to get along is a very important question because, you know, even the people...
It wasn't how are you going to get along. It was what are you going to do if you see unethical conduct.
Well, there was that one, but I think there was also a question. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just a question.
That turned into the how are we going to get along, because then everybody was, I'm going to come talk to you if I think you're doing something unethical, or we're going to work this out because we're going to this and that. And I said, I'm going to talk to the attorney that we're going to pay for and see what you're doing is unethical or illegal, and then we're going to go from there.
Well, yeah, and
they turned it into a little kumbaya, we're going to work through this, and mine is, I'm going to seek legal counsel that we're paying for. I'm going to talk to the guy that we're paying to get us through this.
But I think there were some people up there who felt that we should not have a strong mayor.
There were different opinions that I was surprised to hear. John Shank said something about the law director being able to be from the outside of the city. Because Marion does have a serious lawyer shortage. I mean, that's the truth. If Mark Russell wanted to retire tomorrow, I don't know who would take his job.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, here's the thing. I don't...
But that's why we need to look at more than one position.
I think
everybody's laser-focused, as I said last night, we're laser-focused on the financial piece of this. If we're going to look at this, why not take a look at making all of government more accountable and efficient to us?
You know, I got to thinking about this the other day. Now, I don't know why this is the first time that this has ever dawned on me. But, okay, now Ms. Troiano is the budget director. Mm-hmm. This is a created, chosen position that has to do with finances.
The savior of all things financial.
But she came from the auditor's office. Now,
this is totally dysfunctional and needs abolished.
Right, but now, here's the thing. The argument being made, because Tommy Reese is gone, so essentially...
Shouldn't we be doing away with Troiano's job then, in theory, Shouldn't all those jobs be combined?
Well, no, I guess what I'm saying is, if your argument is that we need to do away with the auditor because there's a lack of talent in Marion and we can't fill the spots, then, well, is Troiano not qualified? Because couldn't she do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, does she live in Marion? I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point. I mean, I would import people from Mars if they could do the job.
I guess that's just what I don't... I guess I'm missing that point. And you know, is this about giving people jobs who are outside of Marion? Because, I mean...
You and I discussed this last week when I said Collins offered McGinnis the transit supervisor or whatever administrator job. At that point, when he had her replacement picked out, that person had to have lived in the city. And he clearly had her replacement picked out. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked her to resign.
Well, right, but when Vidya was announced as Tommy Reese's replacement, more or less, it'll go on the ballot, but she's not being, nobody's challenging her.
Right.
You know, nobody says that Vidya is not qualified. So
right.
You cannot tell me in 35,000 people that we don't have one qualified person.
I had Dr. Sotis up last night.
Yeah, but
she manages to keep the county in line. So don't say there aren't qualified people in this town. Maybe there aren't people that... You know, there was somebody qualified. Was it Kelly Carr?
Kelly Carr was there.
I feel so far removed from this now. And she had an office full of people that were qualified to do the job. And as we, you and I have discussed before, typically those jobs are by succession. When that person decides they want to retire, and someone in their office usually runs to be elected, and you're getting the institutional knowledge. When our buddy Robert Landon went in there and cleaned house, that's when our big trouble started. Whether people want to admit that or not, the big trouble started when we elected him.
Well, you know, he
doesn't... And there's no one to go in there and fix that mess. It's qualified. Oh, we need a CPA. We need this. We need that. We need the other. We can't afford a CPA to work for the city of Marion. We can't afford it. And there's no one... I mean, we paid CPAs $275,000, and they couldn't 100% fix the mess and even said, it's wrong of us to take more money of you. We're dipping out. We've done the best we can. So... that office is such a mess that even if there was somebody sitting around twiddling their thumbs saying, boy, I'd like to be a city auditor, you're not going to get them to come here and do that for $65,000 a year. It's just not going to happen.
Well, here's, again, what I do not understand. Okay, and again, if people want to call it prehistoric, I'm going to move it up into current times. But there would have not been Mary Ellen Withrow had there been qualifications for county treasurer. Now, She was from the school board, okay, and she worked in the license bureau. Joanne Kasotis was a teacher and became the county auditor and has won all kinds of awards, and I've never heard of the county having any trouble. I forget who preceded her, but I don't remember there being any issues there. Jan Draper just left...
Did she just straight run from, I'm a teacher and now I'm going to be a county auditor?
Yeah, it had to be pretty quick.
Okay, well, what did she teach?
English.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
There you go. Now, also I would like to say that
but did she go in and fire everyone that worked underneath of her, or did she keep those people and have them train her as she learned on the job?
No, I don't believe...
That's an important piece to that puzzle.
Well, you know, I think Robert feels differently about that.
In a normal situation, okay, and this is... just strictly based on the education that I have, in a normal situation in a town this size, I should be able to go in and do the auditor's job, not in the cluster that's up there right now, but if a normal transition from one auditor to another, on paper, I should have been able to go up there with the staff that was already there and take that job over. I have an accounting degree. I have a master's degree. I should be able to go do that job. Now, it is such a cluster that I would not want to do that job, and you certainly couldn't lure me there for $65,000.
Well, and listen, I'm not saying it's the school, but doesn't Marion City Schools have somebody who's their treasurer? I mean, don't all these five school districts...
And they pay them big money. They don't pay them $65,000. Treasurers make, like, six figures.
Well, but how much is our auditor making?
$65,000.
That's right, $65,000. Okay, so there is nobody...
Don't manage $50 million budgets either.
Right, but why did Vidya want to do this job? You know...
Oh, that job only makes $9,000 a year.
Right, so this is where I'm confused.
Maybe she actually, like, wants to help the city. Maybe she has, like, a servant's heart and doesn't care about the money.
I don't know. It's just, it's all kind of a very, if you peel the layers away, it's like an onion that doesn't...
It's what we call a hot mess over here in the hood.
Yeah, but it just doesn't, you know, here's the thing. Okay, I don't understand how you can say that there are no qualified people. Have we put out...
Oh, no, I completely agree with you. I believe there are qualified people in the city of Marion. I just don't believe they want to walk into that shitstorm.
Well, I don't think a lot of people want to run for office, but I don't remember there being any lack of candidates prior to 2019.
No, there weren't.
So,
she typically had to run a race. She wasn't unopposed.
Right, and I will tell you, there is, ask the Democratic Party, there is absolutely a feeling that they do not run candidates, and they have a hard time getting people to run, because they feel they're going to lose, because people vote straight ticket, and if you look back to 2016, that's a hard point to disagree with.
That's true, and here's the thing, I don't even think it's necessarily ego, even though I think there is some to that. It's a lot of work and a lot of money and a big time commitment to run one of these campaigns to lose simply because you're not affiliated with the right group of people.
Well, I will tell you this, that I guarantee you, and one of the things my understanding they can do is get rid of party affiliation. Now, if they got rid of party affiliation and changed nothing else.
You should see, I mentioned that though once, Scott. Woo, you should have seen the heads exploding.
Well, that's.
How are we supposed to know what people stand for? How are we supposed to, I said, I don't know, maybe research the candidate?
But do you really need, what do you need to know about your auditor where they stand? Except can they do the books?
I agree with you on that. That should be a nonpartisan position. I mean, that is what it is. It's accounting principles.
Right.
That's all there is to it. And, you know, the government side of it. That's it.
So what is the difference between hiring an auditor and electing an auditor when, are you going to ask them in the interview process, how do you feel about abortion? How do you feel about gay marriage? I mean, what is this? I don't understand.
No, I get it. Like, do you have the authorization to make the payments and are you making them on time? That's
right.
The job, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
And I would almost guarantee if the...
Hey, I'd say the same thing about a judge, but, I mean, that's different. We're not talking about that right now.
If the only thing you changed in the Marion Charter was no party affiliation, you would see more people running for these jobs.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Why don't they want to do that? Now, to me,
how do you maintain control when the electorate is forced?
But see,
to figure out
that's
who the Republican is.
That's the problem. Is that if maintain control, that doesn't hire you the best auditor. That hires you somebody who they like. Do you think that they're going to hire somebody for that position that they feel is against their beliefs and principles?
No. And do you think they're going to fire someone that they like, regardless of whether or not they're performing well? And, I mean, will we know if they're not performing well, if they do like them? And, I mean, well, you know, a whole other thing. All the money, the check-washing stuff, that stuff, I mean, that never even came out to the city. It was just in the newspaper yesterday. We just found out about it.
All I know
is... But what I'm saying is they don't even like McGinnis, and that didn't come out. So now imagine somebody that they do like, and there's a major screw-up. We'll never find out about it.
All I know is that if this is the way it's going to be, then there's going to be some trouble. And I also have to wonder, there's got to be some motivation for this charter city. Is it really just to fix the city's finances? I mean, is that really what it's all about?
Well, I want to tell you a story quick, because I'm sure there's other people that want to talk. Okay, the city of Nelsonville, Ohio, charter city, they decided it was not working for them. They wanted to dissolve the charter. So the people did a ballot initiative. They got the signatures, they got the language approved, they got it put on the ballot, they did everything they're supposed to do. They voted 70-30% to dissolve their charter. No more charter, we want to go back to a statutory city.
Well, and again,
the people that were losing their jobs didn't like that. So they, the city council and the city government, had sued to stay that election. So to actually overturn the will of 70% of their constituents, and there are people right now that are running for the statutory government that's supposed to start in January, and the case is still being heard by the state Supreme Court because the people that are going to lose their jobs are still pissed off. And so basically they're running elections not knowing what their government's going to look like in January. Now, is that the kind of power we want to turn over to City Hall?
Well, and again, I would just like to say this. Miranda McGinnis was appointed to that position. What's the difference between that and a charter city, except for the fact that I guess you could get somebody living outside the city? So maybe you want to fill up city government with people who don't live in the city.
Well, okay, then maybe we should do that for the mayor and the law director and city council, and maybe just all of city governments could be, like they said, Bill Dichtel said, we can bring people in from across the country. Well, then let's bring them in for mayor, and let's bring them in for law director, and let's start bringing them in for judges, and everything else. Let's just bring people in from out of town. That's we need to want to be like other cities. Let's just bring people in from other cities to run the place.
Well, you know, I just think it runs a little contradictory when you lay it out there.
Love your city, but let's bring people in from elsewhere.
Well, there you go. Love your city, but we don't have anybody in the city
love
to do
your
the
city,
job.
But we're too stupid to run the place, so we need to bring people in from outside to do it for us.
Well, and that would be a question maybe that somebody should answer, but I don't know if we'll ever get the answer to it.
Take care, Spears.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. You know, I don't know. It's a very complicated situation, this Charter City, and I don't know how it's going to come down on the ballot, I'll tell you that. But I wouldn't be surprised either way. I'll say that. Pass or fail, it would not surprise me. Because I'm not sure if people know what they're voting for. I don't know if a good enough job has been done explaining to people what it is. And if it passes, good. If it doesn't pass, okay. You know, will the right people be put on the commission? Who are the right people? Who has the best credentials to do this? I don't know. It's an interesting conversation to have. But the phone lines are open, and we've got about 18 minutes left. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right. Well, there's that. We did, by the way, air the Amy Acton interview last night. It was live at 10:15, like we said it would be. We did get on time with that. Very interesting interview, to say the least, with Dr. Amy Acton last night. That was a full interview. Nearly 30 minutes, I think just 2 minutes shy of 30 minutes last night. We talked about her abuse as a child. We talked about her homelessness. We talked about her, she still has a relationship with Governor DeWine, a friendship. I found that very interesting. I think that might have been the most interesting part of the interview, to be honest with you, is that she talked about still being in communication with Governor DeWine. I thought that was very interesting. Also talked about her thoughts on Vivek Ramaswamy and Tim Ryan possibly getting in the race for governor. We'll play that here in the morning because maybe a lot of people didn't hear it last night because they weren't up until 10:15. But yeah, we'll get it in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say, give me a buzz. I would enjoy hearing from you. I think it's always good to hear from people out there in the listening audience. What did they think of the League of Women Voters event last night? And where we go from here, as they say, where do we go from here? As we continue down this road of city government, county government. And you know what's interesting? All this conversation this morning, and a lot of it has been directed in the mayor's way. You know, if he came on and just answered these questions, I think we could get right through it. And then we could get to other issues that maybe are more important. And it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to show last night, and I hope it's nothing serious. I hope that, I don't know, I don't know why he didn't show, but maybe he was busy. Who knows? I'm sure we'll find out as time goes along. But again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, and we've got 16 minutes left in the broadcast today, and would love to hear from you. Because your opinions on these things are very important as well. But again, we did get notice this morning, I should mention this again, that 653 voters have voted early or requested a ballot as of yesterday. 653. So not a big number in this off-year election. Maybe that'll change. Maybe there'll be big turnouts on election day. Who's to say? But fascinating to be sure. Okay. Well, if you've been thinking about saying something out there, feel free to weigh in. 740-383-9944. Oh, we did also talk with Amy Acton last night about this new Newsweek poll. I think that was out yesterday. that has Vivek Ramaswamy up 50-47% with a 4.5 margin of error in that particular poll. I think that's interesting on a lot of levels. Is this gubernatorial race really that close in Ohio? And if it is that close, why is it that close? You know, a lot of people did not think this would be a close race, and I guess we got a year to go, but that's a pretty tight race for governor of Ohio. So, you know, this is what we're faced with at this particular point. But again, I do want to take the point to thank the League of Women Voters for their participation last night. Well, their event, really. I was just there. They do such a fine job with all the work that they do. And we thank them for showing up and doing what they do, because if they didn't do it, I think a lot of people would not be informed. They passed out the voter guides last night and how you get information. Gary Hunter did his presentation on Charter City. I think a lot of people like that. And again, I think everybody who participated with the station last night, Matt Morgan, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, myself were there last night, and Adam got the Amy Acton interview up almost immediately last night, which we thank him for. So those are always important things. Well, did anybody hear the Amy Acton interview that would like to say something? For some reason, she seems to bring out a very opinionated part in people, which is fine. I asked her that question last night. I said, Dr. Acton, the people who cannot get over the decisions you made in COVID, how do you plan to win over those voters? She gave an answer. I don't know if you liked it or not, but she did give an answer. Any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And by the way, outside of all the political stuff that we're talking about here, from Candidates Night to the Amy Acton interview to anything else, if there's anything else in general on your mind, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Oh, you know something else that happened yesterday in the middle of the day, in the midst of... It was between the time I went over for the sound check yesterday and the time I had to come back to do the event last night for the League of Women Voters. I did get a call from the Women's Club home here in Marion, and they are doing the dedication of their resource center, I believe, next Tuesday. Very nice to invite me to that event. But what a thing this is going to be in Marion. What a big deal this is going to be. I mean, you've got the resource center here in Marion, Ohio, to research the genealogy and the history of a lot of very important women in Marion, Ohio history. And it'll be right there at the Women's Club home. Now, that is a great, great asset. And they should be given quite the kudo for that, because that's going to mean a lot for a lot of people. You know, we have a lot of very important women in the history of Marion, Ohio, and a lot of them have been forgotten because of time and them not being around anymore. And to be able to go in there and search them is a great, great thing. I mean, you've got the Ida Barlows and the Florence Hardings and the Madge Coopers and the Mary Ellen Withrows and the Mary Ann Michaels. And, there's so many more. I know I'm missing a lot of names here, but there are a lot of women in this area who, I'm trying to think of the lady's name, Eula Watts, who was with the Palace for so many years and did so many amazing things. Trella Romine did so many amazing things. There are other women, too, that Martha Dowse, who were very well entrenched in the Marion community and did a lot, and their histories will be preserved there at the Women's Club. And that is a wonderful thing to do. And, you know, if the funding from the Turn Up the Dance events is for that, or a portion of it goes to that is tremendous. Then I, you know, everything the Women's Club's doing, as far as I'm concerned, is completely, completely necessary and worthwhile, because that's a great asset for Marion, Ohio to have. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I am going to make every attempt next week to try to attend that opening, ribbon cutting for that center. I'd love to see it. See what it's going to be like. And hopefully, I think, I looked at the schedule next week. I think I should be able to make it. Because that's very, very important. Unfortunately, women got left out of a lot of history prior to the last 50 years. And that this is coming to the forefront over there is very, very nice. Okay, so that's a great thing going on in Marion. Hey, there's some good news. 51 minutes past the hour here, coming up on 52 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. 8 minutes left to go in the broadcast today. So if there's been anything rolling around in your mind that you might have interest in talking about, feel free. But the new Women's Club History Center, Research Center, is certainly something well worthwhile. I think October 28th is the date that that will open here in Marion. Okay, well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. And people, when I bring this up, I don't know why this becomes a thing. But you know what? Harding's dog collar is still lost. Will it ever turn up? I don't know. How many years has it been now? 13 years. You know, we've been through the ringer on this. It's 13 years, a $5,000 reward. The prosecutor and the chief of police have said they will not press charges. They will not prosecute the person. Where in the world is this dog collar? And I like to bring it up occasionally because if you don't talk about it, how's it ever going to show up? And maybe it'll never show up. I hope not. I mean, I would like to think that it still exists, Lottie Boy's dog collar. But you never know. And I haven't brought it up in a long, long time. So I wanted to bring it up again. And does anybody have any thoughts on that? You know, social media's range now is longer and bigger all the time. So you never know when somebody's going to put something out there or hear something on this show and they're going to say, oh, I know the person who did that, or I know somebody involved, or I know somebody who knows something about that. And wouldn't that be a great thing if that showed back up? And you got to remember, we have the prosecutor and the city police chief saying they are not going to arrest, they are not going to prosecute this person, and there is a $5,000 reward here. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I'm Scott. I'm glad you brought this up. There are some very noticeable similarities between the Louvre robbery and the Harding Boy dog collar.
Really?
Really. Someone put a ladder up against the window, went in, grabbed, and ran.
So you think the people who burglarized the Louvre might be the people who took the dog collar so many years ago here in Marion?
I think it was probably just a test run operation, you know, hit the small town first and then go for the big time.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day, and that Louvre story kind of did bring it up in my mind, but I thought, you know, I have not talked about that in probably a year, and you have to bring it up every so often because you have new listeners, you have new social media followers, and, you know, this is still out there. The reward is still there. There is no prosecution that will happen. I have to believe this will show up one day, don't you?
I do. I believe as soon as they catch these Louvre thieves, they've got the Harding thief as well.
They've got it right in there.
There's too much similarities there.
Well, I do want to ask you, while we have you here for a second, you've been listening to League of Women Voters and all the talk this morning. What do you make of where we are just a few short days from Election Day here in Marion?
Well, granted, it's none of my business, you know, but it sounds like this sort of thing's going to happen because people aren't involved enough to learn what's going to happen.
So you feel it's not a good idea?
I don't think the shirt is a good idea. I don't see where anybody gains anything out of it other than those already in power. And, I think the people need to get involved. They're going to get something they don't like.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean,
I think it's too late for anybody to change and educate the people now. I think it's going to happen.
You know what I can't understand? What is the big push by certain people for this? Why are they so heavily interested?
Well, I don't know. Self-preservation, you know, and maybe try to, you know, boost up their own little kingdom. I don't know.
I don't know. There's just something there that, and maybe we'll never know the answer to this, but, you know, obviously there are people who are against it, and they voice those reasons quite loudly. But the people who are for it, now, they will say that obviously we have a financial problem here in the city, and that needs to be worked out, and we need to bring people in from outside. But what really is the game there? I mean, because are they really that concerned with the city's finances if you're not involved in government?
Here's a question I don't think's been asked. 10 years down the road, you got your charter and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Can you uncharter?
I believe that, I think there's an issue like that in Nelsonville. I think you can, but I think it has to be voted on. Now, you can amend the charter, I do know that.
Nelsonville's home of the Moonshine Festival, so maybe there's something there.
I don't know. I think it's interesting, and I did hear Gary Hunter say last night that he did not recommend big changes to the city government, and I don't know what he considers a big change, so that's also something.
Isn't the charter a big change?
Well, it depends on what, if they go in there, like I said, if they went in there and they said, we want to take party affiliation off the ballot, I don't think that's a big change, but I think it would extremely impact the government that we have.
Yeah. Well, you know, and just one last thought on the League of Women Voters, I mean, anybody who was not medically excused shouldn't be voted for. I mean, if they can't bother to shut the support their own calls, then they're not going to do Marion any good.
Well, and again, yes, if you were sick, we certainly understand why you weren't there, but the other people, I don't know.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy that dugout.
I appreciate it. Oh, and by the way, we should say that one of the Charter City candidates, Gail Block, was there last night, but she got sick while she was there, and she had to leave, so she was not a part of the Charter Commission debate. But obviously, as we have said, medicals, you really can't do anything about medicals. So if we find out anybody else was medically not able to be there last night, we certainly will pass that along, because that's a legitimate reason for not attending something. You don't want to get everybody else sick and you're not feeling at your best yourself. Not exactly the time to go up in front of a group. All right, well, we're approaching the end today. I'm glad everybody tuned in. Always stay tuned to this station. We are 24/7, and you never know what'll be coming next. Matter of fact, we might air the Amy Acton interview next hour. So if you didn't hear it last night, you can hear it next hour, and I will replay it during the morning show one morning this week. So people who did not get a chance to hear it last night will get a chance to hear it, because I certainly think it's worthwhile, and there was a lot of information brought up in that interview that had not been brought up with Dr. Acton prior to the interview last night. All right, so we're going to wrap this up for today and thank the League of Women Voters again for having me last night. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.